to the Gospel of John, chapter number 18. Gospel of John, chapter number 18. I have this alarm here. If I preach too long, it will explode and blow both my arms off. So I'm going to try to be brief. Amen. Amen. John 18. John 18, verse 28. Then led they Jesus from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment. And it was early. And they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. Pilate then went out unto them and said, What accusation bring ye against this man? They answered and said unto him, If he were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him unto thee. Then said Pilate unto them, Take ye him, and judge him according to your law. See, he knew what they were up to. The Jews therefore said unto him, It is not lawful for us to put any man to death. That the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spake, signifying what death he should die. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, Art thou the King of the Jews? Jesus answered him, Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? Sometimes we say to people, were you born that stupid? Did you have to work at it? Well, that's pretty much what Jesus is saying to him. Have you figured this out yourself, or have you picked this up somewhere else? Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. In case you were worried about that, Pilate. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. You know, I don't ever remember Jesus going around saying he was king. But I remember a lot of other people going around saying that he was king. Amen. So Jesus said in verse 37, To this end was I born. Now if you want to know why Jesus came into this world, why he was born, he's fixing to tell us that. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Amen. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate saith unto him, What is truth? Well, you wonder why he asked that question. Obviously, he was not looking for an answer, because he didn't hang around to get it. Read the rest of the verse. And when he said this, what is truth? He went out again unto the Jews and saith unto them, I find in him no fault at all. Three times Jesus used that expression and said that he found no fault in Jesus, but yet he consented to crucify him anyway. He thought that by washing his hands with some water, that he could be innocent of the blood of God's only Son. But it takes a whole lot more than water to take care of that issue. Amen. So I want you to focus on the question Pilate asked in verse 38. What is true? What is truth? Well, if you look in the dictionary, and I did, the Merriam-Webster dictionary says that truth is the property of being in accord with fact or reality.
Right.
Well, I don't know about you, but it doesn't help me a whole lot. Because sometimes we don't have all the facts, and sometimes we don't know what's real. So the truth must be a very difficult thing to find, according to that definition. I like to watch these magicians, but I hate them. See, I can't figure out, you know, they didn't saw that woman in half. They didn't make that car disappear. What did they do with it? It appeared real.
Yeah.
But it weren't real. Therefore, it wasn't true. Amen.
Amen.
According to that definition. And so, I think it'd be pretty important for us to find out what the truth is. Because Jesus said, that's why I was born. And why I came into this world. To bear witness to what?
Truth.
The truth. Pilate's response is, what is truth? Well, if he'd just been around when Jesus was talking to his disciples in John 14, he would have heard him say, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Amen.
Right.
Now, that excludes everyone. I don't care what religion,
that's it,
what definition you come up with, there is only one way to God.
Amen. Yeah.
Now, if you believe that, then you're going to be called a bigot. You're going to be called narrow-minded, all kind of things. The great Bill O'Reilly, I heard him being interviewed on television one time about his book, Killing Jesus. And a man asked him, he said, do you believe that Jesus was the Son of God? And he said, yes, sir, I do. The next question the man asked him was this, do you believe that there are other ways to God rather than through Jesus Christ? And he said, yeah, I believe there is. Well, you know, what he did there was just absolutely contradict himself. Because it was Jesus whom he declared to be the Son of God who said that no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now, I'm not bright and I'm not real educated, but I've got enough sense to understand that there's no other way to get to God except through Jesus Christ. And he came into this world to declare that truth to the world.
Amen. Right.
Now I want to tell you something about the truth. It is not hard to find.
Amen.
If it was hard to find, that would mean that nobody could be saved except smart people. Nobody could be saved and know the truth except educated people. But that's just not true. Amen.
That's right, brother.
By the way, it was to a bunch of fishermen that was washing their nets that Jesus first appeared to and told them, hey, it's you I'm going to use. Follow me and I'm going to make you some fishers of men. Amen. And he revealed to those poor, uneducated, ignorant fishermen what the truth was. So I got news for you, son. If they can find it, I ought to be able to find it. It ain't that hard to find. Huh? But the world would have you to believe that there is no such thing as absolute truth. Now, why is the truth important? Because we must have a baseline of truth upon which we build everything in our life. Now, that's what Jesus was talking about in Matthew chapter 7 when he said there's two men that decided to build him a house. Now, they both had a noble concept and idea and were willing to put the money and the effort into building their house. But Jesus said there's one difference between these two men. One man decided to build his upon a rock, and the other man decided to build his upon sand. Now here's the difference between rock and sand. Rock doesn't shift, but sand does. Well, that's what the way the truth is. It never changes, because if it does change, it is not true.
That's right.
Now that's why I say, before you send your child off to university or some college, you need to make sure they have a baseline of truth in their life whereby to build everything off of and to weigh everything
by.
Amen. Amen.
Right.
You've got to start with a foundation of truth, or it'll be easy to be led into error.
Right.
Now, I don't even bother reading a history book that was written after 1960, because we live in a day whenever history is being redefined, recharacterized, rewritten with a political slant, not to teach real history to our children, but to make clones of them to what we want them to believe. And so it has a political slant.
Yes.
And anything you mix with politics is going to get corrupt. People ask me, "Don't you believe in climate change?" Yeah, it changes all the time. But I don't believe this bunch around here talking about us causing the climate change, because what they're saying is, old Murphy, man's in charge of this climate, not God. I know better.
Amen, bro.
He's the one that said that seed time and harvest would always exist as long as the earth stands. And when the earth don't stand, I'm not going to worry about it.
Amen.
Oh, I watched some of them on PBS last night. It made me so mad. I just wish that I could reach through that screen and shake them. They didn't. They just state things, but they don't back them up. They don't have any confrontation or debate. And we can't got time for all that. This thing's going to blow my arms off. I've got to get on. Now, the Hebrew word for truth,
amen,
is a word that conveys the idea of permanence. Now that's important, because that Hebrew word is telling us that that which is the truth has a permanent characteristic about it, and it doesn't change. That's what we just talked about here, amen. So son, well, no matter what changes, the climate, the weather, what else, truth is still going to be the truth.
Amen. Right. Right.
Well, now the Greek word for truth is aletheia. Zeus was supposed to have had a daughter named Aletheia, obviously, because she was the goddess of truth. Now, any time that a Greek word begins with the letter A, it's telling you that the word it's about to finish with is the opposite of what he's trying to say. And so, what the word Aletheia means is this: that which is not hidden. Now, I want to tell you something. That makes me happy, because you know what that means? An old man dummy like me can find it. Hallelujah. Why? Because the truth is not hidden.
That's right.
Old Pastor Leon, he went looking for the fountain of life, fountain of youth. He thought there was some truth to that thing, but we just go swimming over there when we young youngins, didn't he? Amen. There wasn't nothing to that. And no truth to it, amen. 4 points, but I'm not going to preach them because my arms will get blowed off. First, I want to talk to you about bending of the truth, and that's probably all I get to talk to you about. But then if we was to continue, we'd talk about the basis of the truth, the benefits of the truth, and the battle for the truth.
Amen, brother.
Man, we need some fighters today.
Yes, sir.
When I got out of church Sunday, I went over to the sheriff's department because I thought that's where the protesters were. But it was empty over there, so I turned around and came back to the police department. That's where everybody was. Well, you see, the protesters weren't dummies, because they got out of town before the church people got out of church. You see, I would suggest that next time something like that happens, that we dismiss church a little bit early and we get over there, amen. So I rode through there honking my horn and giving them a thumbs up. Hallelujah. Fight!
Amen.
Stand up for the truth.
Amen.
Don't let somebody come to your town tell you how you're going to live.
Right.
You see, if there's a change in America, let me tell you where it's going to start. It's going to start in the grassroots level in little places like Bonifay, where people say, I'm tired of a handful of atheists coming here trying to tell me what I'm going to do and how I'm going to live. You're the one better get out of town.
Amen. Thank you for the truth, brother.
Now, I'm going to carry this little thing. It ain't a bomb. It ain't going to blow my arms off, children, so don't be scared. Because I wanted to interview them. I was going to ask them where they was from, why they over here raising Cain in my town. Why don't you go back to your own town, stir stuff up? What are you trying to do? Just get on TV? And then, of course, I had a lot of questions that I would love to ask them. Maybe we'll do that the next time. Huh?
Amen, brother. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so the truth is not hard to find. And by the way, I watched the news that night to see if maybe I made it on TV. I was a movie star or something. I didn't make it. And the protester, the one they put on TV, was some young man that hadn't been off his mother's breast very long. He was green. And I'd love to have said, young man, will you come back in 50 years and let's talk about this? Because you ain't got sense enough to comb your hair.
Right.
And you want to protest something. You just show them what a dummy you are. You're only one stupid enough to get out here and get your head on TV. Rest of the bunch is hiding because they know what you look like.
Yeah. Right.
That's why I have to stay at the house. I have to make Miss Ann stay at the house too. Amen. Now, what is truth not? Truth is not knowledge. Now you look up the word knowledge in the dictionary and it will tell you that knowledge is the acquisition or the acquiring of facts. Now we do that when we're in school. We have to acquire these facts and store them in our brain so whenever we have a test, you know, we can put down the right answer. But that's all that is facts that have been stored in our brain and they never become operative in our life until those facts flow down to our heart.
Right.
And then they become a part of our belief system and thus a part of our life.
Right.
That's the difference between believing in the existence of Jesus Christ and believing in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I believe in the existence of Barack Obama. But son, I ain't believing not ne'er been in Barack Obama.
Amen.
I'm not putting any of my trust in that fella. Amen.
Amen.
Well, brother, that is the difference right there.
Right.
Now, Paul writing the young preacher Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, he said that there was going to come a time in the latter days when men would be ever learning, but not able to come to the knowledge of facts. No. The knowledge of the truth. And so that tells me right there that knowledge is not the same as truth.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
Knowledge is not, truth is not science. We think that because a scientist says something, it has to be true.
Not
really. No, you better check out everything, amen. The Apostle Paul, writing to that young preacher again, said that you beware of science falsely so called. Huh?
Right.
Now, what is science? If you look up the definition of science, it is organizing those facts that we just talked about in order to test them by comparison. So, knowledge is acquiring facts. Science is assembling those facts and organizing them in order that they can be tested. But it's not truth. Now, you want me to tell you why? Because facts change.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen.
Right.
I remember in the 1960s, and I wish I would have looked up the Time magazine front cover and would have printed it out and brought it, but I didn't think to do that. But it said there that the world was facing another ice age. Now, I'll tell you something. I don't like cold weather. That's why I'm living in Florida and not Minnesota. So I didn't like the thought of that, preacher. I lived in England for 3 years, and I had enough experience with ice to know I didn't like it. But they said, hey, all the indicators and the facts are leading us to believe that there's coming another ice age on this globe. Well, all I know is the facts must have certainly changed. Matter of fact, they must have changed by 180 degrees because now they're saying that the globe is warming up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we're going to die if we don't do something. Oh man, what in the world we got to do, Mr. Science? Give me all your money.
Yeah.
Give me your money. You know what gets me? All this bunch of preaching this stuff, they get on their big Learjets and take off and go preach about global warming. Come on. Al Gore preached that Florida would go underwater. What'd he do? He must not thought California would, because he went to California and bought him a big mansion right on the beach. Like I said, I'm not real intelligent, but I got enough sense to know that man's lying about something.
Yeah.
Huh? Right. And he obviously doesn't know the truth, or he certainly doesn't believe the truth. Amen.
Right.
Truth is not knowledge. Truth is not science. Truth is not theory.
That's right.
Now, what is theory? It's defined as the analysis of facts in relation to one another or an unproved assumption. Now look at that yourself, what it says. We teach our children in school the theory of evolution. Now, it's still called that, but you know what they say? But it's proven fact now. We know that it's true. Oh, you do. Why? Because the facts indicate it. Because we found Neanderthal man. We found Piltdown man, Java man, Nebraska man. By the way, one of them was a pig's tooth. You see, they'll find a little bone somewhere in the dirt and they'll build a whole human being around it. Amen. Well, I hope they find my little finger and make me pretty when they build me back. Most ridiculous thing you ever heard of. Amen. Theory,
yes, sir,
is not a proven truth.
That's right.
And much of what we teach is theory, and a lot of it proves to be actual facts in time, but it's not truth itself. And so as the facts change, the truth changes, but not the real truth. Amen. So that's what I mean when I talk about the bending of the truth. Now, you get in your car and you drive to Washington, D.C., and you go to the steps of the halls of Congress and find you a politician and just say, hey, politician, do you lie? There's not a one of them that will admit to you that they're a liar. But oftentimes we refer to ourselves as one who bends the truth a little. When in reality, if whatever you're bending you can bend, then some it ain't the truth, mark her down.
Right.
But that's what we do with truth. when it doesn't speak what we want to hear, when it doesn't teach what we want to know, then we bend it so that it means what we want it to mean. Now, I'm going to give you some scripture for that. Go to the book of Romans chapter 1. And I'm going to close. Oh, I am. I'm insulted. You're laughing. Romans chapter 1. We'll make it brief. Verse number 19. Well, no, we better read 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against some ungodliness. That's a simpler word, isn't it? All, A-double-L. All ungodliness and of unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Now, I taught on that at the prison. That word hold literally means to hold down or suppress something. I'll ask you a question. Are we trying to suppress righteousness and right in America today?
Yes, exactly.
You better believe we are. Because that which may be theorized about God. No, that's a pretty strong word. That which may be known of God is manifest. What does the word manifest mean? It means for something to be made plain.
Right.
Manifest where? In them. See, I told you the truth wasn't hard to find. And God could have stopped right there. But listen to what he said. For God has showed it unto them. And he goes on about creation. But I want you to notice what he says at the latter part of verse number 20, coming to this conclusion. He says, so that they are without excuse. He says, God has revealed something to mankind. He has made it plain and easy to find.
Right.
And therefore man is without excuse for not coming to the knowledge of the truth as revealed in Jesus Christ. We look at the world that he created. That's what he's talking about there in verse 20. And we say, oh, the law of physics explains everything. How many books on physics do you think have been written? Do you know how many ideas there are about this universe based upon physics, the string theory, alternate universes? You could just go on and on. Amen. Why? Because they don't know the truth. That the heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament his handiwork. God showed it to them. They're without excuse.
Right. Truth, brother. Yes, sir.
Ah, well, we're going to have to bend that truth a little bit, because I don't like where it's leading. Let's go to the moon, or let's go to Mars, so we can prove there was life somewhere else, so we can disprove God. Friend, you understand something. That bunch protested those priests at Boniface Sunday were not indifferent toward God. They hated God. For you to come out on a hot day like that and sweat and protest in God we trust, you're not just indifferent. You'd stay in the house in the air conditioner. They hate God. Mark it down.
Yes, sir.
They're not willing to admit it, but brother, it's right there. And so we said, the condemnation is this in verse 25, that they change the truth of God into theory. No. Into a lie, which is exactly the opposite of truth.
Right.
So you see, what they did was they started with the truth because God showed it to them, but because the conclusion they wanted could not be drawn from that fact, they decided they had to bend the truth.
Right.
Son, you want a fight on your hands, you just go to before the Texas school board or any other one and you say, listen, I would like for intelligent design to be taught along with evolution and let the children make up their own mind. Oh, No, we can't do that because they can't have any opposition. Because if they teach intelligent design, some youngin might come to the conclusion, you know what? I've heard of that feller and his name is God.
Amen.
So, we're not going to allow it, amen. I want to tell you something. The desire of this government and this world we live in is to keep us in this box.
Yep.
And once it gets us confined to this box, they will destroy the box.
Yep, exactly.
Huh?
Yep.
Fact or fiction? Is a baby in a mama's womb a baby?
Amen. Yeah.
You know what I tell people? If it ain't a baby, leave it alone. See what it turns into.
Yeah. Yes.
When I plant a kernel of corn in my garden, I expect a corn plant to come up.
Yes.
Huh? Amen. But today, what we've got to do is, let's bend the truth. We're not talking about destroying a human life. What we're really talking about is women's health.
Mm-hmm.
Like ladies are getting the measles or something else. Who's the one suffering in this equation? It ain't the woman. She's doing what she wants to do. Son, it's that little baby they're cutting up, and we all know now what they've been doing for years.
Yeah.
I heard this years ago, but I never could confirm it, so I didn't want to preach it, because I don't want to get caught saying something I didn't know was true. Son, it's playing his nose on my big face right now.
Yes, sir.
And so we bend what should be true. That is a baby, so that it satisfies our reprobate conscience.
That's it.
And in order to ensure our further existence and continuance, we're going to be sure that we teach our children the same thing. Bruce Jenner. Let me tell you the truth about him. He's a man. Physical evidence proves that. The problem he has is a brain problem. You see, he thinks he's a woman. Well, now that's a problem. Suppose I told you tonight that I thought I was a warthog. And I was going to gnaw your leg off. You'd say, there's something wrong with that fella. He's not a warthog. Look, he's a man. Well, guess what? Bruce Jenner's a man, but he thinks he's a woman, or at least that's what he says. He's got a brain problem. That's what this whole bunch has got.
Yeah, that's right. Amen.
And a reprobate problem.
Exactly.
And so, here's where the truth comes in.
Yeah, brother. Yes, sir.
Are we going to believe God?
That's it.
Or are we going to believe some seminary professor?
Amen, brother. Yeah.
Are we going to believe some scientist? Or are we going to believe some professor in the university who has tenure and you couldn't fire him with a blowtorch? You say, I'm going to believe God. Because that's why Jesus said he came into this world. To reveal the truth. And that's that baseline that you can build your life on right there. Why? It's rock solid and it will never change.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Yes.
I went last Saturday and gave the invocation at the retirement of a boy I've known since he was that big. My brother-in-law's son, Hunter's son, Jerry. Good boy. Known him. Met him in church that big. Hugged all the ladies' necks. They loved him. And I led the invocation. And I wanted to say, I didn't. I said, I want to thank God for all these men and women who are willing to serve our country in this day. I did say that. But what I wanted to say, I wanted to thank all the men and the women and the transgenders and the gays and the lesbians and the bisexuals. Because our leaders have opened their arms and tried to get them to come into the military, to make a social experiment out of the military, the ones that's supposed to go out there and be fighting for me and you. And I got news for you. I don't want somebody going out there that has a brain problem. And so I'm faced with a dilemma. I've either got to accept what this world says about that lifestyle, or, oh yeah, I can go back to Leviticus 18, where he said, "Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind."
Right.
And tell you what that is? Truth. And that truth is hardwired.
Amen.
Tylenol and Expedia.com have these commercials where these two boys come up and they've got them a baby.
Yeah.
And I love to just go up and say, "Where'd you get that baby? Did you buy it?" Because you didn't produce it.
That's right.
You want me to tell you why you didn't produce it? You weren't wired right.
That's right.
And God didn't design two men to produce fruit.
Right.
And I want to tell you something. God in this Bible condemns anything that can't produce fruit. He was on his way to Jerusalem one day. He looked over there and saw a fig tree that had leaves but no fruit upon it. And he cursed. And the disciples were amazed the next day when they walked by and that thing was dead. Amen. God didn't design two men to bear fruit nor two women. And that's the truth. No, but you're not. You old hillbilly.
Truth,
but But hey, how are you going to argue with it? Oh yeah, I know they put up the argument, but they won't for long. Amen?
Right.
And so we must be careful that we don't bend the truth. Now, Christians can be as guilty of that as anyone else. And so we must be cautious. Amen. But understand this as you go through life. Truth is not knowledge. It's not science. And it's not theory.
Right.
Truth is the truth. Amen.
Amen.
And there's certain sources of truth. Number one is our Savior. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life."
Amen.
The Scriptures are truth.
Amen.
Sanctify them through the truth. Thy word is truth. That's rock solid. You can stand on her, son. And when God shakes this world the next time, you'll still be standing there. Glory to God.
Amen.
But the devil loves for us to bend it. And we have bent it so far in America around that if something doesn't happen in our nation, it's going to be completely broken.
Yes, sir.
Our leaders are under the delusion that you can sign a peace agreement with a liar and he will keep that peace agreement.
Yeah, that's
right. Now, the Bible's got a word for a person like that. It's a fool.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
Now, here we go. Up until the early part of the last century, Iran was known as Persia. There are two specifically named people. There are more than this, but I'm just going to dwell on these two before I shut up. That the Bible says are coming against Israel in the latter days. That's the word that is used. One of them is Russia. You say, "The preacher, is Russia in the Bible?" Oh, yeah, Russia's in the Bible. And if you look at it in Ezekiel 38 where it says the chief prince, the word chief is the word rosh. And if you get you an unabridged dictionary or encyclopedia, you will find that that word points to a people known as the Muscovites that became the inhabitants of Moscow. Russia's coming against Israel, and Persia or Iran is coming against Israel. Now, that's the truth.
Amen. Yep.
And so here's an idea. Let's just go sign a peace agreement with these individuals. Amen. You see, we don't know the truth, do we, huh? Now, when I started a church in my home, I had a lady in there, and that was when the Berlin Wall came down and the Soviet bloc broke up. And I was teaching on that subject. And she said, "Oh, no. No, Donnie, Russia's not going to come against Israel. No, Russia's not able to." I said, "Well, now see, here's where we come to. You're looking with a natural eye and you're thinking these are the facts and therefore that's the way it's going to always be. But the facts change." I said, "What we've got to do is decide this. Am I going to believe what the 6 o'clock news says, or am I going to believe what God says?" I said, "I tell you what, dear." I said, "I'm going to believe what God's saying. One day Russia's coming against Israel, and Sunday fixing to come." Now, we are making a peace agreement with a bunch that wants a nuclear weapon, but we're having an agreement so that perhaps they won't get the weapon. Surely they're good, honest people. And we can check. If we want to go in there and look, we just give them 24 days. We can go in there and look. And we are so ignorant and blind that we don't realize that that nuclear bomb is intended for us.
That's right.
Why, preacher? Because Jerusalem is one of the three holy sites of Islam. Therefore, they cannot nuke it. They would never be able to go there. Even if it did survive, it would be radioactive. Amen. They're not going to use it on Israel. And the reason they don't invade Israel is because of us. Now, I don't know how long that's going to last with the man we got in the White House.
That's right.
But he hates Israel.
Yeah.
Huh?
Right.
And so, if the Bible is true, and I just believe it is, that's what I'm talking about. Russia and Iran are coming against Israel.
Right.
Now, if they're going to do that, that tells me one thing. We are either irrelevant or so incapacitated that we can do nothing about it.
That's right.
Because Israel, little bit. Look at your map at Iran, how big it is, and how little Israel is. There are enough Muslims that if they'd all come in with a baseball bat and nunchucks, they could kill every Jew that's there. They wouldn't need a nuclear weapon. Brothers and sisters, that bomb is for us. But you see, we've manipulated the truth so long that we don't know what to believe anymore. Amen.
That's right.
That's it. So you know what the people of God better do? They better get back to the truth. We better preach the truth. We better share the truth. We better live the truth. We better stand on this truth.
Amen.
And not back down.
Amen.
Because the challenges are all around us. Let's get ready. And let's meet those challenges. Amen. God bless you.